And welcome back into the Buzzer Beater here this morning on AM 1340 KXEO. Special thanks to DJ Long for coming in and visiting with us while he's on his Christmas break. I think big things are in store for Mr. DJ. Of course, Kansas City Community College, a two-year school. So it'll be interesting to see where DJ goes here in the next year and a half or so.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of time to kind of build himself up, figure out what and where he wants to do and where he wants to do it at. And we wish him the best of luck. Always good to see former Mexico players succeeding at another level, and congratulations to that young man.
You know, we kind of teased it a little bit, the Mexico Bulldogs boys basketball team playing in the Rolla Holiday Tournament this week. They kicked off play on Thursday, had a really solid win there as they ended up winning 55-37 against Waynesville. That kind of set the tone for them going up against a very good Principia team. But Caden Benny, I'll tell you what, his performances over the last three games, he's just really turned it into turbo gear.
You know, we've kind of had seen, we mentioned this, and I'm trying to remember what game it was.
It was Hannibal.
You know, he's kind of shown flashes of being able to score, but with Jaden Eldridge struggling, suddenly he's found himself in that spotlight, and it's not something that is undeserving. He is putting together some games. I mean, he had season high
25
five
points
in that game
against the Pirates.
That's exactly what I was thinking, and now he's turned in games of 18 and 17, and he's becoming that threat. And you know, we talked going into the season, you really need two solid scorers. You get Jaden Eldridge going, and there are signs that he's starting to turn the corner as well. You're talking about good things for this Mexico Bulldog ball club.
Right. Jaden, as we knew, his ankle injury was, you know, kept him out of that Hannibal game, but ended up with 14 points and four rebounds, but also had a third double-digit score in that game against Waynesville as well.
Yeah, Jaden Eldridge put up 14 points and four rebounds as a nice number two to Caden Benny.
Along with P.J. Perkins, who had 11 points and five rebounds. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get from Waynesville. I really don't know what kind of a basketball team they have this year. They have one win. Is that what Matt said? Waynesville is one of those, because of the base, you really know. I mean, one year they could be horrible, and the next year they could win state, because you never know what kind of talent is moving in at the base. But this year, not that good. But I'll tell you what, they face some good competition in that next game just the next night.
Well, Principia is the number one team in Class 3, and I know that Montgomery County and Principia have been watching each other all year long. Mexico played Montgomery County earlier in the season in that championship, so you know, here's another quality team.
Yeah, I was going to say, and if you look at those games, you think, okay, Montgomery County is going to come away with a solid win against Principia, but what you also have to realize is Mexico kind of struggled against Montgomery County. They played much better, particularly, I think, in the last three or four games. You know, starting to see Caden Benny develop. So I don't know that you can really say that. But, yeah, we really expect these two teams to probably battle for the state championship.
Last night it was Mexico. They ended up losing to Principia. And the final score there was, of course, what, 66-55. Yeah. But breaking that down by the quarters, Mexico was up 17-16 in the first. Principia outscores Mexico by three in the second, so 30-27. And then Mexico was not able to hang with them there towards the end in the second half, outscored by Principia 42-39. So Principia comes back and kind of takes over that game. But, you know, it was the pressure apparently that got to the Bulldogs, and good defense by Principia, according to Darren Pappas.
Yeah, Darren talked about the pressure, particularly in the fourth quarter, turned Mexico over, which is something that we haven't seen a ton of this year. And it makes you kind of wonder just, you know, just how good is that full court press? And I'm assuming that's what they went with, was a full court press. But you know, we've heard things about Principia all season long. They were very good last year, and are very good again this year. You know, How does that rank as far as the losses? Well, we won't know that until the end of the year.
Right. Well, Principe is going to have a tough challenge tonight because they've got Rolla in that championship game. I'll be interested to see what the score is there. But Rolla usually, I think they're 8-1 on the season at this point.
Number one seed, Principe the number two seed, so it kind of matched out. But yeah, that really, I think, is going to be a very, very good game.
And Montgomery County is going to be keeping an eye on that. They're at the Great Eight, and they got a win yesterday. They improved their record to 11-0. Mexico is going for third place, and they're going to be taking on another team that they don't normally see, and that is going to be against Rockwood Summit. That's the third place game. Takes place at 3:00 this afternoon. But still, if you can come out of that Rolla tournament with a third place finish, I think it's a solid week.
Oh, you, yeah. Oh, I'll agree with that. Second that motion.
Right.
Second that motion.
We were talking about that Great Eight Classic that's taking place in Jefferson City. Montgomery County boys beat Capital City pretty handily yesterday, 64-37. Eugene Eagles losing to Union High out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. So that's going to set up a matchup between Montgomery County and this Union High out of Tulsa. I'm not quite sure what to expect in that game.
Tulsa Union is usually very good in basketball, so I expect a very good matchup. What exactly kind of matchup? I'm not keeping track of Tulsa Union on a weekly basis, and I don't know what they have to feature, but, we saw Montgomery County at the Norm Stewart Classic, and they really handled one of the big men, the better big men in the St. Louis metro area fairly easily. I was actually kind of surprised at just how easily it looked for that Montgomery County ball club. They are a very good team, better than last year. I had someone ask me that about 3 or 4 days ago. Is Montgomery County as good as they were last year? I think they're better. The addition of Moore, they've still got some of the key parts. They did lose one of their shooters last year, but Moore is a more complete player than what they had from that. And I can't remember the young man's name, but
Isaiah Thomas also is healed up, and yeah, he's playing really good basketball.
Well, and he's their leader. I mean, as far as distributing the ball, they didn't have that last year, come playoff time anyway. So if they can stay healthy, man, I can certainly see where they could slot into that state championship game.
I think that's the eyes are there, and anything short will be a bust for them. Coach Kreger, he's a very good coach.
Yep.
We want to kind of switch gears a little bit because it is almost time for the Missouri Tigers football team to play their bowl game, the Music City Bowl against Iowa. And, they came out and kind of broke down how much money each team was going to be getting. And it looks like Mizzou has the potential to make a little bit more money than what they normally do come Monday.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, in this day and age with what they're doing with the college football playoff and all of the other bowls, the combined payout is $6.3 million. However, they haven't finalized exactly what Mizzou's going to get. Depends on ticket sales. Last year, Mizzou got $4 million. Of course, that's in the Cotton Bowl. This is the Music City Bowl. So we'll see. I'm not sure exactly what they're looking for as far as money, but I know on the field they're looking for a win. That's for sure.
Yeah, and as we said, that will be the only game that will be played on Monday. It'll be a good chance.
So we get the day off?
We should. I think
that's the way that works.
Well, you're the boss. Was that an order? That was an order.
Yeah.
And, okay.
A declaration.
That's right.
I think we have to watch the game.
That's right. And we will have that game here.
So, Leighton, you're working.
That's okay. No, short straw again. Sorry. It'll be a good game to watch. We've been watching these bowl games over the last couple of weeks, some interesting games that have taken place. But the college.
How about the midshipmen? Did you see that game?
I didn't get to see it.
They took down Oklahoma.
Right.
Out of the SEC. Man, it's hard to say Oklahoma and SEC together, but it isn't hard to say Oklahoma got beat. Sorry.
And
I'm supposed
DJ
to be
Long's Grandpa Joe is a big Oklahoma fan, so he's not going to like you saying all that.
You're supposed to, support all the teams in the SEC, and I do. And I support the midshipmen in their win over Oklahoma.
Boomer Sooner.
The only thing that can be better than that is Nebraska losing. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yep, indeed.
It's going to be interesting to see how much money that the SEC comes away with. Obviously, they're going to benefit. They've got three schools competing in the college football playoff, Matt.
Yeah, they do. Well, Texas is who I'm kind of keeping an eye on there. But each team is could get an additional $6 million. They're already guaranteed $4 million. Georgia, of course, Texas, and Tennessee are the three teams that we're talking about.
Yeah, Tennessee has already lost. Georgia and Texas getting ready to play again. And I agree with you. I think Texas is probably the cream. I hate to say that, too. Man.
Yeah, that the hurts.
Burns saying it. In the SEC this year, we'll see if they can get a college football championship. And, you know, if they do, those earnings could skyrocket. If Georgia and Texas both make it to the national championship, you're talking about maybe an additional $20 million more.
Will they change this system with all of that money that the schools are making? Because I know that's the big argument right now, is that it's got to be more teams involved in this playoff, and maybe not the current format that they are putting out there.
I think you'll see 16 next year. I really do.
Easily.
I think the college football playoff semis are set for January 9th and 10th, and then January 20th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. By the end of January, I think you'll have us at 16 teams. I think it'll happen that quick.
I hope so. I honestly hope so. I think that would be a good change that can be made. College basketball, of course, Mizzou losing very narrowly to Illinois in the bragging rights game. That was last Sunday.
We previewed it
a little bit. It was a great game.
Yeah.
Mizzou was in that thing, and you know they could have pulled it out, but both really, really good teams early on in the season.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at rankings, you know, some of the Mizzou fans kind of looking and saying, you know, after Kansas, they should have been ranked. Quite honestly, I agree with them. I think this is probably a top 15 to 22-ish team. There are so many good teams, particularly in the SEC. Man, it's going to be a gauntlet in the SEC. If you can go 500 in the SEC, you should be in the college basketball playoff. That's the way I feel. There may be some 7-9 teams, and there may be more than one. Normally, 7-9 in conference, it's very iffy. I think in the SEC, I think it could very easily, you could see a couple of teams go 7-9 in conference and still get in.
Mizzou basketball playing on Monday night against Alabama State.
Alabama!
And then a big time matchup with that conference play that you're talking about, yeah. Number 2 Auburn. That's going to be Saturday, January the 4th. And I know that you don't want to overlook Alabama State, but
no.
I'm sure that Mizzou is going to be focusing on that Auburn game.
Well, you have to be. Auburn is going to be very good. They're considered one of the top three teams in the SEC. So if you're not paying attention to them right now, you're probably missing out, because like I said, the SEC is going to be a gauntlet. Every game, every win is going to be important. And I think there's going to be a ton of close games in conference this year. I really do. And Mizzou is, you know, I like where they're at. You know, could they close some things up? You know, they did some things in the Kansas game that they didn't do as well in the Illinois game. But that's the way college kids are. Sometimes they're better at one thing, and, you know, sometimes they don't have the energy or whatever the case may be, but there are some really good storylines emerging from this Mizzou basketball team.
No doubt about it. Of course, we forgot to mention, we had talked about it last week, but it's official. Bo Pribula is signed on with Mizzou, made his commitment there, so they have their quarterback out of the transfer portal.
Yeah, Leighton, I know you follow Penn State football quite a bit. What do you think of Bo Pribula?
I think he'll be a great fit for Mizzou.
It's going to be interesting. He's more of a runner, for those who don't know anything about him, a little more of a runner than Brady Cook is. And you think for a minute, okay, Brady Cook was a pretty good runner. But really, let me put it this way. Bo knows how to run. Brady was quick and had some speed, but he really wasn't comfortable in the running game. Bo is very comfortable, and he is a quarterback who will make some moves, make people miss, and will surprisingly, I think, put some yards up against SEC defenses. The question is, how well does he throw? against SEC defenses. We're not going to know that till next year, but I think they are comfortable with him. And I don't know this for sure, but my understanding was that both the quarterbacks were on campus at the same time. And I say both, and I'm talking about Fernando Mendoza from Cal, who ended up going to Indiana. And basically, Fernando came back to him and said, hey, somebody's come in at the last minute. It was Georgia and is making me an offer. And we talked about this last week. And then he doesn't go to Georgia. And you wonder, was that Georgia offer real? Or did Georgia just happen to know that, hey, he's on campus, and if we make him an offer, maybe we make him reconsider? And Mizzou says, I got to have a quarterback. I got to take whatever, you know, the guy that's comfortable with coming. And I'm not so sure that's not exactly what didn't happen.
You got to know how to play chess in these kinds of games.
It
and
is
Georgia
the SEC,
definitely
baby.
Knows how to do that. With yep. any kind of luck, we'll have the Bo Knows t-shirts coming out next year. So
yeah.
we'll look forward
we'll take
to
that.
That. Absolutely. One other thing that we wanted to talk about, Christmas Day, Wednesday, there was the one certain team in the NFL that has clinched a number one seed over the AFC. And that's none other than your Kansas City Chiefs. They looked really, really good against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, as we get further into the year, it seems like they're looking better and better. You know, they were kind of made fun of early in the season because they were, I wouldn't say skating by teams, but getting by the skin of their teeth. And some of that, I think, was, they went through a period where they didn't have a lot of guys healthy and they were bringing in new guys. I mean, a wide receiver. I don't know how many. The turnstile is quite long. Any idea how many wide receivers we've had this year?
They've used quite a bit so far, and with people coming back from injury, we're just adding to the list.
Yeah. Now, some of those guys starting to get healthy. They've grabbed a couple of guys who had some experience with the Kansas City system off the waiver wire. They grabbed DeAndre Hopkins. So it's starting to come together offensively because that defense really – kept them in most games, and that's a pretty good defense.
Well, we'll just take our hats off to Steve Thanks. Spagnuolo right now, yeah. And we also want to give a shout-out to the officiating in the NFL
of course.
Making sure that everything is fair and down the middle.
And also to the goalposts because, they were, being standing there and not wavering, we do appreciate that.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Two things of note in that game against the Steelers, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce rewriting the NFL and Chiefs record books with the three passing touchdowns. Mahomes passed Hall of Famer quarterback Peyton Manning, not Peyton Manning, but
not meditating Manning.
For the most touchdown passes in a player's first eight seasons. Mahomes at 245, but Travis Kelce, he surpassed legendary tight end Tony Gonzalez, and as I understand it, Gonzalez told him to do the dunk on the goalpost, and he paid his fine for it.
Yep, he did it. He paid tribute to Tony with the dunk.
Most receptions in franchise history for Travis Kelce. Got some love from Gronkowski on a podcast this week saying how legit he is. So, all of those things that people were saying, Mahomes and Kelce not on the same page at the beginning of the season, that's gone out the window.
Well, and those, if you're a longtime Chiefs fan, when Gonzalez set that record, most people thought that's not ever going to be broken,
Right.
Here comes Travis. And he's done a wonderful job as a Chief. He really keeps that offense moving, and when you need a clutch catch, he's always there.
No doubt about it. We have about a minute left here on the sports show. We'll real quickly go around and do our athlete shout-out of the week. Leighton Maskey, you get to go first.
Yeah, Caden Binney led the team in points in both games in the Rolla Holiday Tournament, so he's going to be my athlete.
All right, Michael Doherty.
I'm going to go, I think... I'll go with P.J. Perkins because he's, early in the season, we've talked about the evolution of Caden Binney. We really haven't talked about P.J. Last year he was kind of that guy who gave you 8 to 10 points every night. Early in the season we missed that, and P.J.'s returning to those numbers. And for Mexico to be successful, they've got to have that guy who not only gives you that 8 to 10 a night, but also pulls down that 8 to 10 boards. And when he's active offensively, it's because he's active defensively. So, got to have that shout out to PJ.
And the Jams are pretty nice to see as well.
Yeah, that's good too.
We like the Jam. I'm going to go with Clayton Parker from Montgomery County. I think that this guy is playing possessed this season. He's got a Final Four and a state championship on his mind, and it shows, and he's having a really great season so far.
Yep.
All right, that is going to do it for our sports talk this morning. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 8:30. I think it's going to be the first sports show of 2025, so we will be ready for that. For Michael Doherty, for Leighton Maskey, I'm Matt Pilger.
Four,
you've been listening to The Buzzer Beater on KXEO. One.